Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 26th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We found that we were able to reduce the amount of bacteria that was present by upwards of 90-95%.
Not only did they proliferate beyond anything we could have wildly imagined, but they were extremely stable.
The device is left at the surgical site. It monitors the presence of bacteria, alerts whether there's a surgical site infection, and then does not need to be retrieved.
This week, medical implants that just melt away, how cancer research could make the plastics industry less dependent on fossil fuels, and why ultraviolet light is cleaning up hospital rooms. Also, scientists find a surprising new source of reprogrammable cells in amniotic fluid. But first, Suzanne Bard tells us about a new genetics test that could help babies in the neonatal intensive care unit.
When a baby is born sick, one of over 3,500 genetic disorders may be to blame, and figuring out which one can be a needle in a haystack problem. Now, researchers have developed a test that scans a baby's entire genetic code in about 50 hours.
That goes from taking a drop of blood from the baby, receiving an order from a physician, to reporting the results back to that physician.
That's geneticist Stephen Kingsmore of Children's Mercy Hospitals and Clinics in Kansas City. His team's software matches a baby's symptoms to possible genetic causes and relates those findings to an exhaustive search for abnormal genes.
We report 7 acutely ill babies in whom we performed this, and in 6 we were able to provide a rapid molecular diagnosis.
And while the test is expensive, it could pay for itself several times over by shortening intensive care stays.
Thanks, Suzanne. For decades, researchers have studied amniotic fluid to look for fetal genetic disorders. But in the future, those same cells may be reprogrammed to treat adult diseases. Correspondent Justin Warner reports.
Converting human stem cells into adult cells has promising medical applications, but so far it's inefficient and the resulting cells sometimes revert back. Now scientists may have found a source of better reprogrammable cells, amniotic fluid, which contains cells sloughed off during normal fetal development. Senior postdoctoral fellow Michael Ginsberg tested them in Shaheen Rafi's lab at Weill Cornell Medical College.
Not only did they proliferate beyond anything we could have wildly imagined for how many cells we were able to get in a short amount of time, but they were extremely stable, basically over many, many passages in vitro. And when we put them into animal models and showed that they were very durable and very functional over many months of time, this was really something that hadn't been shown, we feel, at any kind of level like we've done in any previous studies.
What's more, his team found that the amniotic cells could be converted into endothelial cells, a critical component of blood vessels. Ginsberg says the cells could repair damage from a host of common vascular diseases, including heart disease, stroke, and emphysema. But that's not all.
What we've shown over the past several years is that endothelial cells in the vasculature for different tissues really have specific functions for both the maintenance and regeneration of those tissues. So for example, in regenerative liver models, which we've shown in this lab, if you manipulate the endothelial cells in the vasculature, that will have a dramatic effect on how the liver is actually regenerated.
Finally, the cells could be harvested from amniotic fluid that's already being sampled for amniocentesis, a diagnostic procedure performed over 100,000 times per year.
Thanks, Justin. Politicians like to say that sunlight is the best disinfectant, but if you ask scientists, they'll say it's actually a particular type of ultraviolet light. Suzanne reports that a blast of it could help clean up hospital rooms.
Ultraviolet radiation causes sunburns and skin cancer, but it also kills disease-causing bacteria. Recently, scientists from Duke University Medical Center and the University of North Carolina Hospital System used a UV-emitting machine to disinfect actual hospital rooms right after the sick patients checked out. Duke infectious disease specialist Deverick Anderson says they looked at 3 tough bugs, including antibiotic-resistant staph, or MRSA.
We found that we were able to reduce the amount of bacteria that was present by upwards of 90-95%, so a lot.
A typical disinfection took about 20 to 40 minutes. Anderson notes that the UV radiation bounces all over the room, so it works even in shadows. The next step is to find out if the UV system actually reduces patient infections. They're currently studying this in 9 hospitals.
Thanks, Suzanne. The massive global nylon industry ought to take a cue from cancer. This according to a report in the journal Nature Chemical Biology by Duke University geneticist Zach Reitman and his colleagues. He explains that industries currently spend billions of dollars a year to make adipic acid, an essential building block of nylon, and they burn lots of fossil fuels to do it. Reitman's team studies how brain tumors change the function of enzymes, molecules that can convert one chemical to another.
We took the effect that cancer had on a certain enzyme and applied it to another enzyme.
And they found it could be used in a crucial step in producing adipic acid from cheap sugars, one that prior research hadn't solved. Reitman says industries could use the findings to make nylon in a much cheaper and more environmentally friendly way. While today's medical implants like pacemakers are generally meant to be permanent, there are reasons temporary electronics could be useful as well. Correspondent Justin Warner tells us about efforts to make these implants dissolve into the body after they've done their job.
Scientists have developed a new kind of biodegradable electronics which could be safe enough to use in medical implants. Tufts University biomedical engineer Fiorenzo Omenetto is on the team. He says there are many potential applications for electronic implants that eventually break down in the body.
So a typical use scenario would be, say, for example, detection of bacteria. So somebody gets surgery, the device is left at the surgical site. It monitors the presence of bacteria, alerts whether there's a surgical site infection, and then does not need to be retrieved.
Their electrodes use magnesium, which is both conductive and naturally found in the body, along with very thin layers of silicon and silk proteins. They tried out an implant from the material in mice.
We basically combined a radio frequency coil with a resistor that was supposed to act as a heater. And so once the device was implanted, the heater could be activated externally to the animal, and the heat would then control infection through thermal therapy, basically.
The implant degraded after 3 weeks of exposure to the mouse's body fluids. Omenetto says the material could also be designed to degrade in plain water, among other things, so it could be useful not only in medical devices, but also in consumer electronics to reduce waste and pollution.
Thanks, Justin. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, a whale that tried to sound like a human, and why female Komodo dragons die young. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.